Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And I always say we are the first bilingual show because there is indeed a second bilingual show called Paganos del Mundo, Pagans of the World, Pagaos del Mundo, that is aired on Spanish and Portuguese on Saturdays. And tonight we have Lunatic Monday, and I have one of my very good friends. Yeah, she's a friend. We have Dree Amandi, and she's going to be talking to us with us, like, very interesting and important and cool stuff. But for those who don't know her, let me read you her biography. Dree Amandi, preferred pronouns she, her, is a certified level 2 professional aromatherapist, writer, educator, magic maker, and loving auntie. She's been working magic rooted in love and gratitude since the early 90s. With two of her passions combined, she uses essential oils and witchcraft to promote healing and growth. Dree is also a student in the Circle Sanctuary Ministry Training Program. And she's also my friend. And she is here today. Welcome, Dree. How are you, honey?
I'm so good, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. How are you tonight?
Good. I'm, you know, getting ready to learn something about oils. And, you know, I think most people, most pagans, more people who identify as witches or people who do witchcraft, we know a little bit about oils. But there is a lot out there that we probably don't know. But most importantly, there was a boom, like, in the 2000s, maybe early 2000s, where oils was the thing and everybody was trying to sell you a million gazillion of products of oils.
Yes.
it was a little bit of a we're going to call that the annoying period.
I love it.
It's not the anointing period, it's the annoying period. And I'm really interested to see what is your perspective before we get into that, because I'm here, like, talking to you so, like, normally, like, we talk every time that we see each other. Mm-hmm. And for those people who have not the fortune to meet you yet, I'm curious, how did you get into, first of all, witchcraft?
Well, when I was about 11, 10 or 11, maybe, I started to feel called to something bigger than myself. I was being called to a spiritual path. And so naturally, I started to look around where I lived at what people were doing for their spiritual needs and health, and saw a lot of churches. So I started looking into the Christian faith at a United Church near my home. And I started to read the Bible, and I read a children's Bible at that time, and thought, no, this isn't for me. So moved on from there and read the teachings of Buddha. And that felt a little closer to my heart and to my spirit, but again, just wasn't the right fit. And then I found Wicca, and that felt like home to me. It was really, I felt like I had found a piece of myself that I'd been searching for. And for several years, I followed kind of a more traditional Wiccan way. And now, several years later, my path looks a little bit different. But that's ultimately how I landed in witchcraft, was just feeling a pull towards something greater than myself.
I love that. You're not going to believe it, but I interviewed, you know, a few folks, and almost everybody says it felt like coming home. Like, that specific expression is used time and time and time again. And in the true sentiment of what the word religion means, which is to religare, to reunite, I can understand why that is the feeling, you know. We feel like coming home. We feel like coming back to something that somehow, somewhere we were separated from. And well, I'm sure are glad that you were called to this path, because otherwise I wouldn't have met you.
Yes, me too.
You know, not when you were in the Christian, no, I wouldn't have met you. I also dabble into Christianity. Did you know that?
I didn't. A lot of people do. I didn't grow up in a religious household, so for me it was really unnatural to go to a church and seek knowledge there. So after I read that book, I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. And I respect it, but it was just not for me, you know. It felt really almost uncomfortable. So yeah.
In Mexico, 99% of people is Catholic, with big hints of paganism. But you have your Protestants there in Mexico, believe it or not. And I wanted to know about it. So they lent me this cassette tape back in the day. You know, it was cassette tapes. And I went home and I opened my boombox and I put the cassette tape in there and I hit play. And the first five sentences were, you were created to serve men. Women, you were created to serve God. Women, you were created to serve your sons. And I just pop out that cassette and I'm like, yeah, that was enough Christianity for me.
Yep. Finished. Thank you.
Yeah. So it was like 3 minutes, maybe less. But enough of that. I mean, in all honesty, you know, people should practice what speaks to their heart. And
absolutely.
My heart was like, what?
Yeah, we need the diversity in all areas of life, right? So whatever speaks to you, that's great.
It is indeed. And I think to be true to yourself, that's what's the main thing. And I love that you said you got into Wicca first, but then you kind of like spread out and went above and beyond. And I think that is a path for a lot of modern 21st century witches, wise women, priestesses, and or any other people from other genders. But I think that the gateway for a lot of us is Wicca, because it just had so much push in the last, I don't know, 30 years maybe?
Yep, about 30 years, I guess, kind of in the 70s that started. And there was just so much more literature about Wicca versus any other kind of nature spirituality. There was, in my little local library, I don't remember there being a single book on Druidism or anything now that is just so normal and common for us to experience at Circle Sanctuary in our pagan diversity, right? None of those things. Mm-hmm. It was only literature on Wicca. So makes sense that it's kind of a gateway path, as you mentioned.
And it's funny to me, it's always been peculiar that people who are of the lineage of Gardnerian lineage, you know, to talk about secrecy and how you only can learn if you're ordained, but there's like a gazillion books out there. it's so cool. Anyway, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Saanich in British Columbia, Canada.
Oh.
Did you know that I was Canadian?
No. I didn't know.
Surprise.
Oh, wow. Hello. Welcome to America. Now, you've been here for a long time. And that was very ignorant of me because America is a whole continent, not just one country. But anyway, moving on from that thought, don't you love when people say, are you American? And you're like, yeah, I'm from Canada. No, but are you American?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm from North Canada. America.
Yeah. But are you North American? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Dree, I was supposed to not be so political today. We're talking about beautiful things. And
we are.
So, speaking of beautiful things, so now tell us the intersection. When did you get into oils? How did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so from my earliest memories, I was really interested in different modalities of healing. I wanted to be a doctor, you know, all those things. The posters on my wall were like anatomy posters. And I had this amazing three-dimensional cardboard life-size body that I could open up parts and see other parts inside. It was amazing. So I was always really interested in different types of healing. And when I was in grade 5, I did a science report on healing plants. So learning about medicinal plants for the first time really inspired me to kind of go deeper into that world. And you'll notice it's around the same time that I was kind of feeling called to my spiritual path. So maybe there was some communication going on between those two parts of myself at that time and making both of them kind of nature-based, which is where my spirit lives, of course. So after I had learned about medicinal plants, a few years later, I got a job working for a company called Sage Aromatherapy. This company still actually exists. I don't know if it's here or not, but when I was in Vancouver last, they had a Sage Aromatherapy. It's very different than the one that I worked at back in the day in the mid 90s. And that taught me so much because they actually would do custom blending on site. So you had to know the essential oils. You needed to learn them really deeply and understand the healing properties, but also any contraindications. You needed to be able to help folks navigate a wall full of essential oils and narrow it down to a few to create a custom blend just for them. They also sold essential oils by the drop. So when you bought a custom oil, you were paying for the carrier, the bottle, and the essential oils by the drop inside. It was genius. Nothing like that I know of exists anymore, which is a very sad tale. But yeah, so that's how I got really into essential oils, was working at that company. And I've been working with them ever since. I was heavily involved in my spiritual practice at that time, you know, mid-90s. And they fit so naturally together. So I just started working with them in a more spiritual way and still do.
And that sounds fascinating to have a place that does the blends like that. And of course, you have to learn exactly which is what and what they work for. I have to ask you this question because I do my own blends and I do like healing mixes and stuff with oils. And yes, I also do that. I do a lot of things.
Add it to the list and of amazing things.
Add
that
it
you
to
do.
The list. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it sounds fantastic that you can do that. But you know, I have a big nose. In my other life, I was a dog. So I'm very sensitive to smells. And there are certain scents that really cause me a headache. So I have to ask you, did you ever had to deal with like overwhelming scents and headaches and discomfort?
Never. And I think partly that was because generally in the space, everything was in closed glass dark bottles, right? And compared to a place now where usually it's more products that they're selling. So now you go into place, there are soaps and friggin' bath bombs and all this shit that has essential oils in it, but it's not essential oils, right? The essential oils at this place were just in the bottle so that you couldn't access the aroma unless you opened the bottle and were interacting with it for some reason, right? So it was not overwhelming, and it was actually a beautiful place to work, because in days that say I was having a headache from stress, not from being there, but getting a headache from stress, I had access to literally everything I could possibly imagine, and I was able to use it in that space and know that I wasn't going to be interrupting anybody else, because it was a known thing that we could use it. And also, just having access to that much variety is really unusual. Usually we only have a few oils at home, right? But a wall full of oils was a really special opportunity. But it just didn't, the smells you didn't access till you opened them. So it was great.
That's awesome. I love what you said earlier, that sometimes we go to these places and they are not essential oils.
Yep.
I had a very, very bad experience once, because I was not knowledgeable of oils, because, you know, people are not born with all the knowledge.
Of course.
So I went to the store, and I didn't even know how to ask for essential oils in English. I was already struggling with the language. And then I told this person, you know, how much is a bottle of essential oil? And they were very ignorant, and they were like, well, what kind of oil? I say, I don't know. Oils in general, how much? And he's like, well, you know, if you want rose oil, that's like $800. And then he looked at me upside down, and I'm like, all right, dude, I didn't need the, you know, the good vibes. Thank you very much. I will see you back never.
Wow.
But as you tap into this, some are really essential oils. Some are not. And not all of us have the knowledge that you have acquired working there and then in your years of research. How can the common folk distinguish or know exactly what we are getting?
That's a great question. I love that, because you're absolutely right. There is a whole world of fragrance oils and diluted essential oils in all kinds of horrific crap that's available in every store you could possibly imagine. So it is really important to pay attention to what you're getting. And of course, how do you know when you are just starting out in this world? My best advice is to know what to look for on the label of it. There are pretty significant restrictions when you label something in the United States, particularly. You have to have a certain amount of information on there, and then you can go above and beyond that. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the above and beyond. So when you go into a store, what you want to see on a label, bare minimum, is the common name of the essential oil. So let's say peppermint. Then it needs to have the botanical Latin name. So if it was peppermint, it would be Mentha piperita. It needs to tell you if it's organic or not. So it should say organic essential oil, ideally. And it should say somewhere on it 100% essential oil, or just pure essential oil. It should have also a lot number. This lot number is really important, because you want to know if you can go to that company and research that particular peppermint essential oil bottle and find out more details about the chemical makeup of this essential oil. So with good companies, you can take that lot number, give it to the company, and they will provide you with all of their data sheets that they've tested this particular essential oil with. And every bottle like every batch, I should say, not every bottle, every batch that produces X amount of bottles will have a unique lot number. So it will tell you also where the plant material was harvested. And that becomes extremely important when you start to take into account ethics with essential oil use, which I really promote and stress in the put out into the world that that's something that I believe all folks should be looking at. So that's bare minimums for me.
Wow, that is a whole bunch of information. And for people who are not, you know, that is another specialty. Because, you know, with me, if you ask me, you know, about a tarot card or this and that, divination or psychic abilities, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, what you have to do is this and that. But with oils, it's not like that is my realm of expertise or I don't know all those things. It's very good that you can, that you suggest also to trace the origin of where it was obtained and the source material and where was that obtained and if it was ethically. Though in reality, I don't think there is one lifestyle that doesn't hurt nature and the earth, but we can at least try, right? We can try to do the least amount of harm possible out there.
Exactly. I believe that that's part of our responsibility as humans and as earth-centered people. Absolutely.
Yeah. What is your opinion, without telling the names of the companies, because they are not paying us.
yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason. There is one that is like super famous. That has
I
the
think
Latin
I know
name,
the one.
It has the Latin name of the earth in it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like do something. Do you? What's your opinion on that name brand? Because that is like the mass produced, most known brand of essential oils. And it comes directly from that era that I was talking at the beginning, that it was like in the 90s, and it's called the anointing era versus the anointing era. what is your take on this producer? And I'm talking quality of the ethics and all that, only if you want to go there.
Yeah, I would say that it probably depends on the actual essential oil, which brings us back to the labeling. So huge corporations like that, some of their source material will be great and some of it will be absolute crap, right? So I don't know that their quality control is bad. It might be great, but what I would recommend for folks when they're using essential oils like that one or any other super popular essential oil brand would be to not only look at those things on the bottle, because they probably have, like you say, all of that general information that proves that it's truly a pure essential oil, but also look at what their kind of company ethos is like, and if they're considering the ethics. And the reason why I bring that up with quality is because when we're having this conversation tonight, Laura, a lot of what we're talking about is using aromatherapy in conjunction with witchcraft. And energy frickin' matters when we're dealing with it. This is a healing and a moving of energy. So if they are sourcing something that has, you know, it's an endangered species or is absolutely disrupting an indigenous group or making a plant source unavailable to people that need it. You know, there's several things that could go wrong when companies don't care about the ethics. So that, in my mind, is in your oil, in an energetic quality. So for me and magic, that is maybe even more important. Really look into the company and their ethics above the quality of the oil. Because when you're using, unless you're doing, you know, clinical aromatherapy, which I do, but not everybody will. You know, unless you're an aromatherapist, you don't necessarily need the absolute highest grade, the most powerful chemical constituents. You don't necessarily need that, but you do need some powerful energy that will move magic for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to come from where it was grown, how it was grown, how is it harvested, how is it processed, all of the hands that it touched, what did that look like? Is it in right relation from start to finish?
Exactly. And mm-hmm. if I may, I would like to add, if you're listening to the show today and you have a gazillion bottles of oil that were probably not necessarily produced with all the ethical standards, if you choose to follow what Dre is saying, by the love of the goddess, don't go and throw them away.
No.
You know, when you don't know, you don't know, and you cannot judge your actions of today with the knowledge, with your actions of the past with the knowledge of today, you know? So moving forward, if you choose to, you do your homework and you buy from a different distributor or try to source in a more ethical way. I always, you know, this happened not too long ago. Back in the day when the government was exchanging hands and all that, there was this brand of Mexican or rather Latino-oriented food that was like the latest of the cancel culture, and everybody was like, oh, don't buy that brand anymore. And people were like, what am I supposed to do with the 20 cans of beans that I have on my pantry? Well, you eat them. You eat them, and then next day you buy a different brand.
That's it.
But we are not in a position to throw away things, you know, because then it's like double damage, I think.
That's it. And even if you're a billionaire, do not do that. Thank you for bringing that up, because the fact is essential oils are really resource intensive. It takes a lot of plant matter, a lot of energy, a lot of fuel, etc., to create essential oil, to pull that from plant, right? So wasting it is worse, you know? And honoring it, despite, you know, if you feel now, okay, well, maybe I don't really identify with the ethics of this company anymore, really knowing that is all that you need. Like you say, you go forward. When you run out of that peppermint oil, you can think twice. And guess what? If every other peppermint oil is the same kind of ethos, and that's the only one you have access to, or the only one that's in your budget, guess what? You probably should just buy that peppermint oil again. Because, you know, if you need something, you need something. And I mean, I definitely don't want folks to feel like restricted in their access to things. Definitely.
And I'm a strong believer of what I said earlier. You know, I don't think there is one lifestyle that does not damage the air on one way or another. You know, I mean, I have a dog that goes and does his business, and I have to use a plastic bag to pick it up every day, and he does it twice a day. So that's two plastic bags. And I try to buy the eco-friendly ones, but still, you know, so, I mean, we can try to do the least amount of damage.
Yeah.
And when it comes back to the magic that you do with the oils, if you know that it, probably the ethics of the company don't align with your own ethics, and then you put a little extra magic on it, put a little extra healing, put a little extra love or something like that, you know?
Yep. Send some out, send a little bit of gratitude, acknowledgement, just even saying the words, I recognize and acknowledge that this may have caused some harm in this particular way. And, you know, I want to do better than that company did, or my goal is to heal the earth, to heal people. You know, just even acknowledging that is really, really powerful and can shift a lot of energy that surrounds you know, the negativity in potential negativity in oils that have a shady past, if you will.
Yeah. Where you been in oil? Why do you have a shady past? Funny. Oh my goodness. This is so much fun. Hey, can you believe it's already a half an hour? I mean, time really flies when you're having fun. I invite you, Dree, to take a little pause. We're going to pause. Oh my God, you're going to love this song. So listen, it's a song in Spanish. I played it before on the English language shows because I think music has no borders and no languages.
Absolutely.
But also, this song is created by three amazing Latinx women who sing to the goddess and sing to the fact that we are our own goddesses. And it's just beautiful. And I think it will speak to your heart, even if you don't understand Spanish. So this is Rene Ghost, Audrey Funk, and Rebecca Lane. The song is called Diosa, which means goddess. So we're going to listen to this, and we will be back with more here with Dree on Lunatic Mondays. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere. Hello. Welcome back to Lunatic Mondays, the Lunes Lunaticos. I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming on future shows. Of course, always, please listen to Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality with the one and only Selena Fox. That is on Sundays and Wednesdays. We also have the evenings with Moon Magic, two Thursdays a month. We have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose, two Tuesdays a month. We have all of the Paganos del Mundo on Spanish and Portuguese on Saturdays. And yours truly on Lunatic Mondays. It comes, May it comes, and it's the Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day, and we're going to celebrate on Spanish. We will have Harwe, oh my God, that sounded terrible. We will have Harwe Tuileva on Spanish. We're going to talk about Mother's Day. And we also are going to have on May 10 in English, which coincidentally is the actual Mother's Day in Mexico, May 10. We're going to have Florence and Bee chatting with me about Mother's Day, Mother's challenges, and all of that good thing about people who assume this titanic labor of being a mama. And on the 24th of May, dun, 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 we will have Cindy Brennan speaking about, you know it, Hecate. So that is going to be awesome next month. And I really invite you to join us. But today we have Dree. So, Dree, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, what's good? How are you, honey?
That music was so wonderful. I mean, dance party galore.
It is amazing. And you know what is really, I'm very in awe with this feminist movement on Latin America and all the Spanish-speaking people who are doing it. Is they're using goddess as an icon of empowerment and a symbol of the struggle and the fight for equal rights for women. But
Beautiful.
They don't see goddess on a religious way like you and I see goddess. Producing all this wonderful, magical, healing, decolonizing art for the feminist movement, but they're not religious. And I'm like, I just love it. I love it because goddess is everywhere. No matter how you like to call her, she's going to appear and she's going to be there. So it's
That's
beautiful.
Right.
Rene Gauss, Audrey Funk, and Rebecca Lynn. Anyway, thank you for that musical break, ladies. And Dree, let's talk about magic.
Let's do it.
So you were saying you combined, I don't know how you do it. So tell us how you do it. How you combine this like aromatherapy with magic and do the holistic healing and all the thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
How you do it?
Okay. So there's a variety of ways to do it, but let's talk. You're a tarot expert. Let's talk.
That's right.
Spellcraft. What do you think about talking some spellcraft using tarot and essential oils?
Absolutely, yeah. Tarot. I've done a lot of tarot spellcraft, and for example, like for people, I've done a ritual, and I've done stuff to connect with the elements with the tarot cards, for example. And you can use the aces, all four aces, because each ace on the pips or the minor arcana represents one element, or traditionally that's what some tarot readers see. So for example, you have the Ace of Wands for fire, you have the Ace of Cups for water, you have the Ace of Pentacles for earth, you have the Ace of Swords for air. And if you want to connect with the elements, or if you want to empower a ritual or a spell that you already did and you want to bring in your tarot cards, you can bring those and just set them up in your altar, because that is the four elements. And you can do, you know, an invocation or write down some, like a poem or a haiku or something, or a whole spell for each. But I've been exploring that magic of haiku and writing small. Actually inspired by your wonderful work that you did on the Imbolc festivity.
Yeah, the poets, they were so wonderful.
And I saw so many haiku style poetry, and I'm like, that is something I can explore. So I've been exploring that since Imbolc, believe it or not. And that's what comes to mind, you know. Maybe you whip out your cards and you write a haiku, and that's it. You connect with the other.
I love that.
So how would
I love that?
Yeah.
So let's see. So you've got your swords for air. So we're in the east. We're thinking about intellect and communication. Generally, a type of essential oil that could be good for that is kind of a camphor smelling, really, when you think of eucalyptus, that kind of camphory smell, or like Vicks VapoRubby, if you will.
I'm Mexican, honey. We live on that thing.
That's amazing. So I might start to explore different types of camphorous smelling essential oils to go with my sword cards. Or my, I guess aces, you said, is the best for kind of the quintessential elements. Okay, perfect. So if I've got my ace of swords, I would go through different camphorous smelling eucalyptus, maybe bay laurel, basil, camphor itself, and find one that speaks to me, that shows me the image of that card in my mind when I smell it. And then that's what I would use. I could use it just having it out in a dish and passively diffusing it as a way to honor that card, as a way to honor and call in that element, or I could use it more actively in a particular way for ritual magic. And then I would go down to the south, and for the behavioral realm with fire and, you know, manifesting things, creating things, passion, energy, focus. That's kind of spicy oils, so like ginger, cinnamon, clove. Actually, those are probably some of my favorites, interestingly enough. Black pepper.
So
those could be used in similar ways. And then coming around to the west with water and healing, intuition. But also when you think about truly watering, like your mouth watering or juiciness, I think of citrus. So I relate a lot of citruses with water elements. Also several florals I will associate with water because they're very deeply healing, like lavender or jasmine, and then lemon, grapefruit, sweet orange. And then coming up to earth, and now we're in the pentacles, right? So we've got our Ace of Pentacles, and looking for more herbaceous smelling things, or even dirty smelling things, or smoky. So vetiver, I think of, patchouli, I think of. And I would go through these kind of deeper notes, ask them to call out to me, and they will help you choose what is right for that moment, or for you to use to represent that element, you know, going forward in your practice or whatever. There's so many choices to go through.
You know, I make oils. Part of the products that I sell is like this robin oils that are infused with the magic intention, but I always make them separately. And some of the ones that you mentioned go into like my air bottle or my water bottle or my earth or my fire bottle, but it just occurred to me as you were mentioning them, say I want to make my own little roll-on mix of essential oils, not to put them on the diffuser, but to use them, to wear them.
Mm-hmm.
Could you combine an earthy with a watery, with a fiery, with a, you know what I mean? Like, could
100%.
You combine one? Wow. They're not 100%. Counteract with each other.
No. And it'll be this again, when you're smelling them, you know what sometimes I do, Laura? I'll take two bottles. So if you're in a store somewhere and there's a wall of essential oils and you say, you know, this one really speaks to me for earth and this one really speaks to me for fire, open them both up and kind of wave them under your nose together to get a sense of what they will smell like together. Because in aromatherapy, that kind of relationship, it has to smell good, really. It has to smell good for it to be enjoyable to use, right? And some things don't smell that great, and some things are just like magic when you put them together. So that will be part of it, but I'm telling you, that's a beautiful way to do it. And you can even add in the fifth element for spirit, and just whatever calls to you. You can use that for yourself or something that you connect with the divine. You could use that, you know, and put all five in your blend.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if we want to use the cards for a fifth element, what is the fifth element? What is it? Is it God? Is it the goddess? Is it love? Is it, what is it?
Oh, for me, it's definitely love.
Definitely love. I agree. I think that I will say the universe. I mean, there's so many cards for the fifth element. So it could be the lovers. It could be the world. It could be the empress and the emperor. It could be the sun and the moon.
What about the magician? Could it be the magician?
The magician could be, but the magician is more like me on the outside, like me throwing that transformation of being an alchemist of what I kind of manifest outside. And the lovers is more about what is the universe within and the love within. And I'm gonna tell you the joke. I'm sorry. When I teach, I can hear you cracking up. When I teach, I tell my students, this is a true story, you can ask them. If you pull the card of the lovers and you tell the person you're reading the tarot for that this is about finding the love of their life, don't ever say again that you learned the tarot with me.
Right. Interesting. Why is that?
Because the card of the lovers is not about that watered down, oh my God, I'm going to find my twin flame. You know, it's not that simple. It is about love, but it is about self-love. And if you have an idea, you can just Google, you know, lovers, Rider Waite-Smith or lovers tarot. And the visual is such, you have the angel coming from above the earth, like a mountain reaching up towards the angel. So right there, you have like a masculine and feminine triangles going right side up and upside down. And then you have the couple on the card, and it's a female body and a male body, or a masculine, feminine gender people, the genitals showed in there. And they're looking at each other and their hands are facing forward. And this is very much about, I see my other half. I see that part of me that is not related to the body I inhabit. And we humans have separated qualities of people and qualities of existence into masculine and feminine. That has nothing to do with gender, by the way, or gender identification, but it has everything to do with how we understand the world and the dualities of intense and subtle, luminous and dark, active, passive, et cetera, and black and white, yin and yang, all this like pushing and pulling energies. And we humans, we have that part of us in our spirit, in our psyche, in ourselves. And when those two parts communicate and they talk to each other, we find the self, capital S, within us, which is that part of us that is divine, all loving, all accepting. And when you find yourself into loving deeply, that the parts of yourself that society, that culture, that everything tells you not to love, but you love them anyway, you go into the radical self-love, then you are ready to perhaps share yourself with somebody else.
Yeah.
So it is about love and it is about companionship, but it's not about the twin flame, you know.
Yes. There's so many things that essential oils can do in that realm. And as you were talking, I was thinking about a recipe that I have used in the past. And this will probably, I could put this out after this airs for folks. I'll put it on my Instagram or something. And it's a love blend. And the interesting thing, it completely relates to what you were just saying. So it has four elements to it, but those elements are not necessarily what you might think of. So the four elements are confidence building, grounding, heart opening and healing, and joy inducing. So the recipe, the way that I work with essential oils, maybe uniquely, I don't know. I'm hoping that more people will start to practice this way, but I start with those concepts first, because there are so many oils that can build confidence and ground you and heal and open your heart and bring joy and help you shift your mind state into gratitude and joyful living. And the subjective experience of the oil will define what that recipe looks like. So for me, confidence building, let's pick three oils, Lang Lang, chamomile, peppermint. All of those are confidence building. I would take all three of those, say I was making this blend for you, you would smell all three of those and you would choose one. Which one speaks to you about you, for your body, for your how you connect to it. And then we'd move to the next one, grounding. I'd pull out patchouli, elemi, and vetiver. Same thing. Which one speaks to you? We'd use that. Heart healing, rose, melissa, jasmine. We'd go through it again. Bringing joy, feeling joy and gratitude. Bergamot, mandarin, lime. And you would choose one based on your personal experience of it. Although these all have these properties to it, you know, our subjective experience really matters. And so every blend should be unique to the person that's using it. So yeah, that's how I would go about using that with the lover's card, maybe with some type of candle magic and having out the lover's card and using this oil on the candle and then also on your body, maybe from a waxing moon to a full moon, you know, a quarter moon to a full moon, or whatever the case may be, and allowing the card, you to visualize with the card and look at it and breathe in the aromas of the oils and feel without any doubt that you deserve love, that you deserve healing, to feel that love inside yourself and for yourself, that you deserve to feel the joy that you bring to others and that they bring to you. And to allow yourself to kind of let go of the fears that are holding you back from loving yourself and from finding other people that can connect with you in those deep and intimate ways, right? So that could be a great kind of spell.
I'm loving every single word of everything that you said. And the idea of connect with the scent. Like connect with the scent, then go see what the scent is telling you that either you need or you already have. So it is so peculiar, because the majority, or I shouldn't speak for other people, but what I do is I first look what the oil is supposed to be good for,
right?
And then I decide to use the oil. And what if the scent is, maybe that's why I get so many headaches, maybe that oil scent is not. No, I just have a very sensitive. I'm very sensitive on all my senses. It's ridiculous. But it's not the Laura show. It's the Dree show. but I love what you said about connecting with the scent first.
Yeah.
Because when you mention see Ylang Ylang and then this and that, I don't even remember the others.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Ylang Ylang. So there must be something about that oil, right? That
mm-hmm.
connects with me. And the little that I know is Ylang Ylang helps you with body image, with feeling content and feeling pleasurable with your body and playful
yes.
and all that stuff. Like, yeah, that, that's more like, yeah. So
mm-hmm.
we connect with the scent, and then we go look of what is that we suppose, what is our nose telling, the nose knows. The nose
that's
knows.
That's it. It does. It's connected.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, our sense of smell is when we come in contact with any aroma, our brain, before we even register, before we even realize that we're smelling something, our brain has already responded to it in some way in our body. That is how
wow.
important the sense of smell is. It keeps us as animals away from danger. It shows us where things that we want or desire are, like food and these types of things. If you, you know, we observe that in all other animals, we're the same way. And so
yeah.
it goes right to your limbic system. This is the system that controls your everything that's, you know, automatic. So it just happens. So finding what works for you is uniquely is really critical.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that you have bridged the gap for folks like me. I don't know anybody else or everybody else, but I've always seen aromatherapy as a thing that, yeah, you put an aroma in your house in a diffuser so it smells good.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I make oil blends for my magic work, I never thought of, I'm going to bring my client, I'm going to get the oils out, I'm going to give them the bottles,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to make the blend of aromatherapy that works for them.
Yes.
And then add the magic
mm-hmm.
according to what they pick. That
it's
is
just
amazing.
Like your tarot. It's exactly like your tarot. Because when you're sitting with somebody and you're reading their tarot, it's for them. The cards are for them, right? And you're just facilitating that conversation and allowing that conversation to happen between them and the divine or the cards or however you view that experience,
mm-hmm.
right? It is their
yeah.
experience. It's the same thing with aromatherapy, especially in aromatherapy and magic.
Wow, you have made a witch for hire very happy, and this is going right into my toolbox.
Great.
For witchy magic. And you know so much about this, and I'm not going to pretend that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot. So if you can tell us, you will tell us. If you can, you can. But I know you're going to throw all this knowledge into a little thing called book.
True.
Can you
this
talk about
true.
It?
True. Yeah. Yeah. Last year I was approached and asked to write a book on basically my approach to aromatherapy and magic. And so I have been writing this book for Llewellyn, and it will come out hopefully around this time next year, I guess. And it will be more like a guide for folks to develop their relationships, to discover the oils in a more kind of deep, personal, intimate way. For folks like you that are kind of witches for hire and have complementary modalities of healing or magic trades like divination and tarot, et cetera, it will be helpful for you to develop your aromatherapy and magic toolkit, as you say, because it will really walk you through how to understand them from that perspective. So that's pretty exciting.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is, yeah. Please, when the book comes out, Pusho.
I will.
You know, so we can, yeah. And it's not like I don't see you so often. We see each other very often because we're working on some stuff for you to better serve you, Circle Sanctuary. So either you're part of Circle Sanctuary or not, we're working on things to better serve you. And yes. Dree, I know you don't like social media very much, but we're trying to bring you into. We have cookies, man. We have cookies.
You've taught me so much. I'm coming around to it, and I am I'm taking a lot of your advice, and I'm warming up, and I'm getting back into that. So I can commit right now that I'm going to start attending to my social media.
Yay! And for those who want to know everything social media, everything of what you do, where can people find you? I know you're more active on Insta. Would you like to tell us where we can find you on Insta?
Sure. At Dree Amandi. So DREEAMANDI. And on Facebook, also my name, or Magical Aromatherapy with a K. Magic with a K.
Beautiful. There you have it, folks. The time has flown, because that's what happens when you're having fun. And Dree, I thank you very, very much for being on the show tonight. It's been so much fun. And always learning a new thing, and especially to do it with a friend, is just fantastic. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And at this moment, I will leave you the microphone so you can say goodnight to your audience.
Thank you so much, Laura. This has been a real gift for me and an absolute pleasure. And I'm looking forward to creating some magic with tarot and essential oils in the future.
Yay! Thank you so much, Dree. Thank you to everybody who listened live or will listen later. Remember that we are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Evox, and all of the other carriers of podcasts. And that if you go to the Circle Sanctuary website, there are over 400 and change podcasts that you can download, listen, and share. I will see you all next episode. And until then, never forget that you are loved. Good night.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming, connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.